Welcome to the July episode of our IASB Updates podcast, where we bring you the latest news from our recent IASB meeting. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director of the IASB, and joining me today are Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Bob Yule, one of our IASB members. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So in July, we discussed five projects, and today I'd like to have you both chat about three of those projects. The first project is our project on business combinations, disclosures, goodwill, and impairment. The second is statement of cash flows and related matters. And the third is the fourth agenda consultation. So let's start with the first one, business combinations, disclosures, goodwill, and impairment, or our favorite acronym, BCDGI. As listeners might remember, this project aims to improve, at a reasonable cost, information that companies provide about their acquisitions. We want to help investors better understand the strategic rationale behind these acquisitions and how the acquired business is performing. Right now, the IASB is in the process of redeliberating the proposals it published in its exposure draft back in March of 2024. So, Andreas, if I could start with you, can you share some highlights from the July meeting?
Of course, happy to. At the July meeting, we discussed an initial analysis of the exposure draft feedback relating to three topics. Let me start with our discussion on the auditability of performance and expected synergy information. The exposure draft included proposals to require entities to disclose information about the performance of a business combination and expected synergies associated with a business combination. Feedback indicated concerns about an audit expectations gap from including these disclosures in the financial statements. Specifically, stakeholders were concerned that investors might think auditors verify the reasonableness of that information rather than just verifying that it is the information management received to review a business combination. Feedback also indicated concerns about the cost of auditing. The IASB did not make any decisions, but discussed ways to tackle these concerns. For example, the technical staff are exploring solutions such as requiring entities to disclose the basis of preparation for targets not defined in IFRS standards. And we plan to consult further with affected stakeholders such as auditors and auditing standard setters to see whether these solutions would address stakeholders' concerns.
Thanks, Andreas. So, Bob, Andreas mentioned that on our BCDGI project, the board talked about three topics. The other two topics were about the calculation of value and use in the impairment test and some proposed disclosures. Can you share a bit about both of those topics?
Of course, Neely. Let me start with the value and use calculation. Now, in the exposure draft, it proposed to remove the prohibition of including cash flows from uncommitted future restructurings and asset enhancements when calculating the value in use for an asset or a cash-generating unit. Now, feedback on the proposal was mixed. Some agree it would reduce complexity and has conceptual merit, while others worry about increased subjectivity and potential management over optimism. Now, we examined these concerns and considered the need for additional safeguards or disclosures for including such cash flows in a value in use calculation. The board was not asked for a decision on this topic yet, but the staff is of the view to retain the proposal and to consult on developing illustrative examples to try and address some of respondents' concerns before we make a decision. Now, also with respect to the value in use calculation, the board made a tentative decision to retain the proposal to remove the requirement to calculate value in use on a pre-tax basis, so you could use a post-tax basis. This would seek to reduce complexity and align with valuation practices. Now, to compensate for allowing the option, we would require an entity to then disclose whether the discount rate used is pre- or post-tax. And speaking about disclosures, following a generally positive feedback on the exposure draft, the board made tentative decisions to retain the disclosure proposal to require an entity to disclose in which reportable segment or CGU contains goodwill, which aims to provide users with better information.
Thanks, Bob. Now, the IASB still has quite a few more discussions ahead of it, so listeners stay tuned to that. And with that, why don't we move on to our second project, which is Statement of Cash Flows and Related Matters. Just to refresh people's memories, this project was added to the IASB's pipeline following feedback from the Third Agenda consultation, which showed strong demand from all types of stakeholders, especially investors. We started work on this project in September 2024 with outreach and research to understand the problems that needed to be solved. So, Bob, let me come back to you. Can you share what the board is focusing on in this project and what was discussed in July?
Sure. So let's start with the board previously decided in our cash flow project to explore five main areas. First would be disaggregation of cash flows in the financial statements. Second, reporting of information about non-cash transactions. Third, transparency of information about cash flow measures, which are not specified in IFRS accounting standards. Four is promoting consistent application of requirements to classify cash flows as operating, investing, or financing. And finally, fifth is promoting consistent application of the definition of cash equivalent. Now, at the July meeting, we discussed the transparency of information communicated about cash flow measures not specified in IFRS accounting standards. So this is an aspect of what is more commonly known as non-GAAP measures or alternative performance measures. This area is viewed as a quick win because the board thinks it can leverage the requirements on management-defined performance measures in IFRS 18. You might recall that IFRS 18 requires disclosures in the financial statements for management performance measures, or you might hear it as MPMs, which are a subset of non-GAAP or alternative performance measures. Now, MPMs are subtotals of income and expenses that an entity uses in public communications outside its financial statements to communicate management's view of an aspect of financial performance of the entity as a whole. The board tentatively decided on extending the requirements for management-defined performance measures in IFRS 18 to also include cash flow measures, because we believe these requirements would improve transparency and provide users with better insights into management's view of cash flow measures. We also discussed how the definition and disclosure requirements for MPMs could be adapted for cash flow measures. In these discussions, we highlighted the need for further analysis on certain aspects of the MPM definition and disclosure requirements. Now, we also will be continuing assessing potential ways to improve financial reporting for each of the topics I previously mentioned, such as disaggregation and of cash flows in the financial statements and information about non-cash transactions. So stay tuned.
If I could jump in here, in case any of our stakeholders are getting worried. To be clear, none of our discussions about extending the MPM requirements to cash flow measures would change what IFRS 18 defines as MPMs, nor the disclosure requirements that apply for those measures. We are only talking about extending those requirements to also include cash flow measures. I know many companies are busy implementing IFRS 18 in time for its effective date on 1st January 2027, so just wanted to reassure you that you don't need to worry about changes coming from this project.
Thank you, Bob. And Andreas, thank you for jumping in with that clarification. I think that's a bit of a relief for our listeners. So let's move on to our final topic today, the IASB's fourth agenda consultation. As many of you know, the IASB determines its technical strategy and work plan through a process called an agenda consultation. In March, the IASB began its fourth agenda consultation process. And at its July meeting, the IASB discussed some developments from its sister board, the International Sustainability Standards Board, that could affect the IASB's process. Andreas, can you provide some insight into the discussion and next steps?
Sure. So let me start with some background. The IASB started work on its fourth agenda consultation in March for several reasons, including the fact that we are nearing completion of several projects. This means we will have some room for new projects to take on new stakeholder demands, but not enough to tackle everything. So we discussed publishing a request for information in October 2025 to seek stakeholder feedback on priorities. At the March meeting you were referring to, we also discussed that ideally A concurrent agenda consultation with the ISSB would be most efficient for our stakeholders because they could consider each board's work plan at the same time and provide holistic feedback about the priority of each board's independent work in relation to the priority of joint work between both boards. However, at that time, we noted, based on discussion with our ISSB colleagues, that the ISSB wasn't ready to start an agenda consultation because it had just finished its own consultation on priorities in 2024. But because of the benefits of a concurrent agenda consultation, we stood ready to engage and change our plans if the ISSB were ready to start a concurrent agenda consultation. Now, since that time, ISSB and ISSB leadership have continued discussions about the possibility of a concurrent agenda consultation. And for clarity, when I'm talking about concurrent agenda consultation here, I simply mean that the ISSB and ISSB would do their agenda consultations at the same time. So we could also say it's a simultaneous agenda consultation. There are further considerations about process, content, format, say, for example, one or two documents, which the boards would still need to discuss. So fast forward to July, the ISSB decided to begin work on a concurrent agenda consultation in late 2026 and publish a request for information in 2027 to consult with stakeholders about agenda priorities, subject to confirmation by the IASB. So this week, ISSB members welcomed the ISSB's decision and noted that it provided an opportunity to for both our stakeholders and the boards to prioritize technical work in a more connected way. So in light of the ISSB's decision, the IASB will now revisit its plans for the fourth agenda consultation at its September meeting. A revised plan could be that the ISSB defers its request for information, initially planned for October, as I said, to align with the ISSB's timeline to publish in 2027. In this scenario, the ISSB would still need to decide which projects to add to its agenda until the concurrent agenda consultation is completed, so further discussions to come.
Great. Thanks, Andreas. You know, one of the comments that was made a few times during the board week was that we're leaving some of our projects on a bit of a cliffhanger. And I think this is one of those projects. So before we say goodbye, I wanted to flag that the IASB staff has published a near final draft of examples on disclosures about uncertainties in the financial statements as illustrated using climate-related examples. The IASB is working towards publishing final examples in October, but we're taking this unusual step to give stakeholders early sight of what is coming your way to support timely and informed application. So please have a look on our website for more information. And with that, listeners, thank you for listening and joining us on this podcast. We are currently running a short audience survey to help us improve the podcast. So whether you're a regular listener or an occasional one, we'd love to hear your views. You can find the survey link in our episode description. And we hope you can join us for our September episode. Thank you.
To stay up to date with the latest developments from the IFRS Foundation, the International Accounting Standards Board, and the International Sustainability Standards Board, sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions.